Scholars have been studying the most powerful force in the universe for centuries. Let's talk about it on this episode of Inverse.
Coming to you from Silver Spring, Maryland, welcome to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation on life principles, contemporary issues, and thought-provoking perspectives. Now here's your host, Justin Kim, with Inverse.
It's not ionic bonds or covalent bonds or gravity. It is the most powerful force in the universe. In the studio, we have Jonathan, Sebastian, Callie, and myself, Justin Kim, and you're watching Inverse. And we're so glad you have decided to join us in our study on the book of Romans. So, hey guys.
Hi.
We've been talking about Book of Romans, salvation from week to week, and I'm very excited about chapter 8. Yeah, chapter 8 is like this apex, this climax that we've been building up for about 7-8 weeks, and we're going to get into the scriptures. So let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 31 through 39, but before we read, Sebastian, can you pray for us?
Yes, sir. Let's pray. Our Father, we are grateful for your word, and we're grateful, Lord, to be here today. We ask, Lord, that as we study the good news of Romans chapter 8, Lord, that our spirits would be lifted, that it would grant us excitement, hope for the future. Mm-hmm. And Lord, that you may bless us with clarity and understanding in all that Paul is trying to say.
Amen.
Is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So Romans chapter 8, verse 31 through 39. And if you're watching out there, we want to really encourage you to take out your Bibles, get it out, and open up to Romans. Either go to the table of contents and find where Romans is, or if you know where Romans is, go there. And go to chapter 8. And in most translations, it's after chapter 7. And go to verse 31. And Callie, if you can read it for us, we appreciate it.
Which translation is it not? Okay, verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Okay, so the book of Romans is awesome, but Romans chapter 8 does cake of the chapters. Yeah, even that last part that you read, just beautiful. He busts out into like poetry and he's just going and just, you know, flying out into places. So, hey, Jonathan, what for those who may be watching for the first time this episode, kind of cover us from 1 through 7,
sure.
And let's jump into 8.
Yeah. I mean, Romans chapter 8, as you said, is the apex, is the, you know, almost the final part of the crescendo in Paul's argument for salvation.
Yeah.
But it starts in chapter 1, really, where God, God, through Paul, introduces us to the concept of salvation and how beautiful the gospel is and how important it is. Chapter 2 and chapter 3 cover the reality that we are all sinners, whether you're Jew or Greek or pagan or barbarian, we're all sinners. We all need Jesus. Chapter 4 gives us the prototype of what it means to trust in God and how we obtain salvation through the story of Abraham. And he received righteousness by faith. Chapter 5 introduces us to the reality that, yes, we are in the lineage of Adam physically, but Jesus became our new Adam. And so we are called now to join him in this allegiance of righteousness of and he is our a new Adam. Spiritual renewal takes place, salvation takes place in Jesus. Chapter 6 and 7 then
you're doing a great job.
Yes.
This is awesome.
Chapter 6 and
Amen. Next week.
Chapter 6 and chapter 7 focus then now that I have given my life to Jesus, what does that look like? Mm-hmm. What are some of the challenges? Mm-hmm. You know, we have a sinful nature. How do we deal with that in our lives? And then chapter 7 talks about that struggle, mm-hmm. but comes to an end here. And if I can read it real quick, chapter 7, verse 24.
7:24.
He says, "Oh wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." And then he says, "So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." He's saying that I want to serve God. I know that I don't have the power in myself to do it. And in chapter 8, the first section that we didn't read talks about how, with the Holy Spirit's help, this is possible. Mm-hmm. And this is where we end up, where we are today.
Mm-hmm. So that's kind of I really love the writings of Paul, because for those of you who out there who may be Bible journaling, or if you're using our online Bible study guides, which you can go to inversebible.org and you can download and get all the entire series of Inverse Bible Study guides, especially this quarter on the Book of Romans. Each chapter has a particular word. Yeah, Paul does this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Kind of gets fixated on his one word and just says it over and over and over and over. So in chapter 5, he's saying one, 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 one. One man, one man, one man. One man caused it to happen. One man caused it to unhappen.
Undo it.
Yeah. Undo, yeah. Yes. Chapter 6 is dead, 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 dying, 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 death, death, dead, 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 dead. Chapter 7 is law, 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 law.
Law. Wow.
Law. And then chapter 8, the golden question is, what is that word that's repeated in chapter 8 over and over and over again? Mm-hmm. And everyone's looking down in their Bibles and searching for it. And it's the word spirit. Spirit, 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 or spiritual, or spirit, 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 spirit. And this is really the secret to Bible study, to see that repetition. And for those of you who are Bible journaling, I'm a Bible journaler myself. I highly advocate that you write the Bible verses out. For those of you who are addicted to your thumbs on the digital world, using your own whole hand is a great exercise for prescribing out the text.
That's true.
So, Sebastian, what's going on in chapter 8? Why does he all of a sudden bust out into the Holy Spirit and the Spirit?
Well, I think the first thing that he's trying to establish is two basic realities. Mm. Number one is that now that you're in Christ and you have this relationship with Jesus, mm-hmm. there's no condemnation. Mm-hmm. So you're going through
this struggle,
verse one. So he says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, mm-hmm. who do not walk according to the flesh." And I'm going to pause there for a second, mm-hmm. because now he's establishing that you're in this struggle of Romans 7, but the difference is you're in Christ.
Yes.
So now as you're going through this struggle, you don't have to worry about if you're condemned. Mm-hmm. But now, how do I continue to live life between, the first verse of there's no condemnation to nothing can separate me from mm-hmm. being in Christ?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And the love that's present. So I'm in Christ. Nothing can separate me from that love, from being in him. But life is not that simple in between. Mm-hmm. And that's the second part where he says, but you're walking according to the Spirit. Mm-hmm. So everything that's filling in that I'm in Christ, I have a relationship with Jesus, mm-hmm. and I'm eventually crescendoing right to this, nothing will ever be able to separate me from the love of God and being in that relationship with him. But these struggles is all overseen, led, guided, filled by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's that thing that fills it in.
I want to underscore that you said there is a struggle.
Yes.
There is a dissonance, a tension, this, mm-hmm. This, I don't know, groaning. And
yes,
and going
he does
on.
Mention that.
He does mention that. And, yeah,
right.
The creation groans, but there is this, on one level, we got this, and the two will continue to grind at each other, but still we can have victory. Yeah, mm-hmm. And I just love that there's that trajectory that he's pointing to.
Jonathan. I just want to add to that, and Paul doesn't talk much about this here, but it's important that I think for us to have that in mind, that what is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is one of the persons of the Godhead. Mm. And when Jesus, before he left and went to heaven, he said, "I'm not going to leave you orphan. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit who will be with you and in you." Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit is the promise of God's presence in your life, which means that he will bring whatever Jesus wants in our life into reality in our hearts. Through the Holy Spirit, Jesus is present in our lives. Jesus is being reproduced in our lives. Mm-hmm. A character transformation takes place. So the Holy Spirit is God's presence. It is God in us. Mm-hmm. And that is, the ultimate the promise of God, when you think about it, you know, in the Old Testament, it talks about Emmanuel, God with us, right? The promise of the Messiah. He will come to us. Mm-hmm. But that is not enough. Mm-hmm. God wants to literally live in us and with us and be, you know, he wants to connect us with him in that spiritual sense. It's just a mind-blowing concept when you think about
it. The Holy Spirit is one of the most powerful forces in the universe.
Yes, yes.
This chapter talks about love being one of the most powerful forces in the universe. We talk about hope being one of the most powerful universe. And we're not going to hear and compare the three and whatnot, because that's just a fruitless exercise.
Correct.
But piggybacking on Jonathan, verse 26, verse 26 of chapter 8, the Bible says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses.
What a promise.
For we do not know what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So here we are groaning, and creation is groaning, but the Holy Spirit is groaning, and the Holy Spirit is interceding on our behalf. So this good news is this. Good news is this. Like, struggling is a good sign.
Yes. There's a sign of life.
Sign of life.
You're living, you're striving, but remember, he's talking about you were dead in trespasses and sins, right? So there's a component that if you're alive, then you're struggling against the flesh, against the weaknesses. And that means that the Holy Spirit is active in your life.
Yeah.
And it's always the case of the devil that whenever God is leading you to a victory, he's going to act up before God fully accomplishes that. Because he knows he doesn't have a lot of time. So he's like, what can I do before I get expelled from this situation? And it's just like somebody who's, you know, throwing a scene. I was at the DMV renewing my tag, and the guy was upset that the lady's like, you cannot renew it. You don't have the right paperwork. And the line was like out the door, down the sidewalk, around the building. And he was like,
always around the building.
Right.
I've never seen it. Not, anyway,
and he's like, I'm not getting to the back of the line. Right. And she's like, sir, I don't want to have to call security. And so because he realized he's about to get expelled and he has to get to the back of that long line again. I mean, he literally just threw a scene and security had to carry him out of the DMV. And you're just like, it's the devil is the same way. He's about to get expelled from your life. The influence of sin is about to get expelled. So let me throw a big scene because I'm about to be gone.
I think what Sebastian is saying is really important, that while the struggle is part of it, but we talk about, you know, we rest in Christ. We have that, you know, that peace which we celebrate on the Sabbath, right? Mm-hmm. We rest in our salvation. And that is exactly Paul's point. You rest, you have justification. You rest in him, but then there is still a work that's being done. That work does not merit towards your salvation, because Jesus provides all those merits, right?
That's right.
But it's important that there is rest. Yes, we can rest assured that we have, you know, when we're walking with Jesus, we have salvation.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus wants us, you know, to grow, and that's where the struggle comes in. It's kind of like, you know, you join up for a fitness studio, like an athletic club. You have a membership, but just because you can't lift weights doesn't mean they're going to kick you out, right? You are in there to grow and to, you know, be strengthened, and it's a process. And they're not going to throw you out just because you can't run more than
there's a couple gyms that'll throw you out. Right?
So I want to ask, like, is there a difference between those who may struggle and those who may struggle without God? Yeah, we're all in this struggle together. What is the difference between the struggle before Jesus and the struggle after Jesus? We'll talk about it after the break.
Has Inverse been a blessing to you? Do you have questions, comments, or feedback you'd like to leave us? Find us on social media by searching Inverse Bible on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube. While there, join us, like us, heart us, thumbs up us. Our handle again is Inverse Bible, no spaces. Now, back to the discussion.
Hey, welcome back. We're going to go to Romans chapter 8, verse 5. And Callie, can you read that for us?
Yes, I can. Verse 5 says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit."
Right, so I set up the question. I mean, there's struggle is good, right? But struggle before Jesus, a lot of people do, right? Maybe some, not everyone, but it's a real thing. And there's struggle after Jesus. So what in the world is the difference between the two, Kelly?
Yeah. I mean, the answer is found even in that verse.
Yeah.
And I love the practicality of it, where you set your mind, because it's not talking about, like, walking with the Spirit, not walking with the flesh. It's like, What does that mean? Right. And this is the cornerstone of what it means, of where you're setting your mind. Mm-hmm. And an easy way for me to kind of really understand what this is talking about is just reflecting on my own experience. Mm. Because I became a Christian when I was about 17, and I struggled before I was 17. It's really hard to be a teenager, honestly. Mm. And there was lots of struggles. It's hard, man.
I don't want to repeat those years.
Do not. And I remember struggling those years, but my mind was not set on Christ. Mm-hmm. My mind was not set on prayer or communion. It was set on my struggle. Mm-hmm. And it was set on myself and set on strategies to try to get out of the struggle or minimize it, which never worked. And so I look back on those old journals and I'm like, there is no Jesus in these books. Mm-hmm. It's just struggle. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, the difference, I think, because when we set our minds on Christ, we're not focusing on the struggle. Mm. We're focusing on the solution giver. Mm. And we're focusing on the one who gives us victory. And so you only focus on the struggle as much as redirects your attention to Christ. Mm-hmm. So sometimes certain struggles might look the same outwardly, mm-hmm. but it's just, where is my mind? Where is my confidence? Where am I trying to go? Where am I trying to find my help from? Mm-hmm. Is it from my own strategies and my own, like, pulling myself up? Or is it like, Jesus, please mm-hmm. come into my life and give yes. me this victory?
You know, mm-hmm. it's interesting. It reminds me of a C.S. Lewis quote where he says, you know, you don't judge a man by where he is because you don't know how far he has come.
That's yeah. right.
And this idea that sometimes when we come to Christ and we're thinking about our struggle, we're not realizing how far we have actually come. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like we have a short memory. We forgot what it was like to be stuck in this every single day. And now it's like, well, I only fall once every 4 months. Mm-hmm. Or I only make this mistake every once in a while, when before this was your way of life.
Always.
And in that sense, it's like, yeah, you may not be 100% there, but look how far you have come. So don't judge yourself by necessarily where you are, but look back and see how God has led you from the mess that was your life in the past.
If I were to, I need to think of it in terms of abstract terms. And so I just see it as, one is this infinite, you know, never-ending struggle, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe if you can make it more of a normal object, a normal version is like, I hate running. So you're on this treadmill, and it's a never-ending treadmill.
Oh, that sounds right. terrible.
Right? And you know, treadmills are horrible. So the struggle, you're going through the, I can't breathe, I'm sweating, I hate this experience,
but
it's on forever. Yeah. Whereas, well, as opposed to that, I've never run a marathon, but or a regular race, is right. you run outside, and there's actually ground that you have covered, and there's actually more ground, but at least
there,
you see an end goal.
Right. Yeah.
You go through the same experience,
yes.
but then you also have someone running with you, and so it's a different
experience.
Thing. I want to go to verse 18 is where I'm getting all of this imagery from. Verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Mm-hmm. So we see Jesus. Jesus gives us strength of the Spirit now. Mm-hmm. Then we see kind of the end goal of we're going to become like Jesus.
Right.
And then through time, you know, like I still may have the same struggles,
yeah.
but I have victory over some of the struggles. Mm-hmm. I'm a better person today than I was yesterday.
Yes.
But I still have a way to go when I see Jesus. So mm-hmm. it's kind of this kind of, I don't know, GPS coordinates where we are, and there's kind of an ecosystem that I know where I am, where I'm at. Jonathan and Kelly.
And that's sorry.
It's okay.
There's if you jump 18 verses forward to verse 36.
Everywhere.
Get a little nap in here. Got a brain working.
Yeah.
It's kind of reiterating what you're saying. It says here, actually, verse 35. He says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword?" You know. So this is maybe more of the external things. Mm. We talk more of the internal struggle, but the external struggle of living a righteous life are real. I mean, there's persecution taking place. People are suffering.
Yeah.
And even if you're faithful to God, you know, the devil gets onto your case. Mm-hmm. Verse 36, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. So this is a reality, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Yet, verse 37, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So while we have the Holy Spirit helping us with the internal struggle, he also gives us strength to go walk through the external struggle. And even those struggles that we now see as so huge will, in the light of eternity, become insignificant. Mm-hmm. So this is, of course, not always easy to deal with when it comes to our feelings and emotions in the moment, but we can trust that God will walk with us through it all, because this is the whole point of this chapter, that God is with us, he's for us, he's in you. He's going to walk
and,
with you.
And keep in mind that he's talking about tribulation and distress to the church in Rome, right? Yeah. Which is under heavy persecution. So he's clearly recognizing that you are probably going through some external problems. You're going through distress and persecution and starvation and famine, but that hasn't separated you from the love of God. And I think that undergirds the path and the wherewithal we need to continue to experience that victorious life, which says like, well, just because my circumstances have gotten worse doesn't mean my relationship with Jesus has gotten worse. Doesn't mean his love has weakened or that I've damaged and put a chip in the armor of his eternal love. It's like, well, somehow it will work for everybody else, but his love is not going to last for me, right? I'm going to wear it out. And I think that's what Paul is trying to drive us towards through that experience.
It makes me to want to be cognizant of the current sufferings I'm experiencing, right? I mean, and it's weird because our current generation wants to get away from suffering as much as possible. You want to binge watch and you know, Netflix and whatever, Netscape?
Netscape, that's Escape. Netscape. Like, 20 years
too
ago.
Far back. Like,
that's a new word,
far back.
Netscape instead of Netflix.
Too far back.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. So, like, we want to get away from it, but Christianity embraces suffering, in a sense.
Right.
Not that we're becoming, you know, sadistic.
Masochist,
yeah. Yeah, whatever it is, and, and embracing it. But, you know, as a single person, and those of you out there who may be single, there are certain sufferings that single people experience. And then when you're married, there are certain sufferings that married people experience.
Speak for yourself.
But, yeah. And then when you have kids, there you experience so much suffering as a parent.
Help us.
And then when your children grow up and they're teenagers, there are certain sufferings there. And then they're in midlife. And then there's when the kids leave. I mean, so every stage has its sufferings. And rather than wanting to escape from chemical or entertainment or whatever it is, whatever choice you have, Christianity and through the strength of Christ and the Holy Spirit and the love of God, there is an end goal. And so it makes me not want suffering more, but acknowledges its presence and say, hey, how does this make me more like Jesus as a result? Rather than just trying to find every way to get away from it. Whereas before Christ, it's these things exist, they're going to be here forever, and I got to get away from it. And life is a search away from suffering.
John, and Paul, I mean, Paul speaks from his own experience. You read the book of Acts, you know what he went through. I mean, he went through much more than we probably all will ever go through, being stoned and shipwrecked and all those things. And then, of course, martyred in the end. But verse 28 in chapter 8 here, Paul is making a powerful point. He says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So the promise here is if you are walking with Jesus in the way we just, you know, explained, all the suffering, all the struggles, whether internal, external, will have, God is going to be using that in order to, you know, shape your character and lead you on. That means you can embrace it, even if it's hard, you know, from a flesh, you know, perspective. If you say, okay, I will accept what comes. That does not mean, of course, that we have to put ourselves into, you know, harm's way or accept abuse and those kind of things. But it means that we can, we can know that God will help us through the struggle, and he will give us wisdom and direction in the whole process. And he has an end goal for us, which is, of course, glorification.
Amen. Let's go to, I have a question in verse 15. Let's pick them from verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, then joint heirs with Christ. And if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. I got two questions. What is Abba Father? Is that some Swedish,
Swedish
word there? Or is that, and then we've been talking about suffering, and then how are we suffering together with Christ? These are two questions that pop out.
Well,
me, Sebastian.
Immediately, right, the concept of Abba was kind of like a Jewish familiar way of saying like daddy or papa or whatever, you know, people use. And so that concept of Abba, you know, being this endearing term, right? That he's essentially trying to drive us back to the nature of that closeness of relationship. You're not being adopted under bondage, or you're being adopted in this spirit in which you're actually embracing, you can call him Abba Father. Mm. You're that close to him. But then that nature that Jesus is so excited to welcome you into the royal family, to call you his brother and to say, look, I'm not going to keep this inheritance for myself. We're going to be joint heirs together. Mm-hmm. And then he understands that because we are now sons of God, the same way that Jesus, in perfect reflection of the character of God, lived on this earth, he suffered. Mm-hmm. He was mistreated. He was misunderstood. He was betrayed. He went through struggles in the wilderness and temptation and all these types of things. He's saying, by suffering together, we're going to be glorified together. And ultimately, mm-hmm. he's saying that that difference between that struggle before, that struggle after now, is that you have hope. Mm-hmm. That's the core element here. It's like, through the Spirit, through this relationship with Christ, yeah, you're struggling, but the difference is you have hope. Mm-hmm. There's an end goal. Yes, this can change.
Yes.
In the end. Yeah. And so I think that's a profound thing that he's trying to draw out in those two points.
Yes, yes. It's a beautiful themes here. There's hope, there's the Holy Spirit, there's love, there's suffering, there's, I mean, it's all inclusive. I guess this passage for me is an interesting diagnostic. How many of us can actually call God daddy? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that affection, which is not something that comes naturally to many of us. God is a distant God. We may even acknowledge God's presence, mm-hmm. God's power in our life, God being provident in our life. But to say that, I mean, we're tight. Mm-hmm. You know, like, hey, we're super tight. Mm-hmm. And then to even call him daddy, it's without a long-term relationship. That's kind of an awkward thing. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And it makes you think about that. I think it was Siku in a previous episode that says, hey, I don't know if it was you, they were sitting here. They were saying, hey, I'm just going to live my life. And before Jesus comes, I'm going to just repent. And then boom, I'm in the good, right? It's a mathematical calculation, but there is an invested relationship that takes time. So you can't live the life that you want to live. And all of a sudden, oh, I'm sorry for everything. And then, hey, daddy, you know, and it just doesn't work. out.
Very
synthetic, awkward relationship.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Jesus says, I know you not. What are some instances in your guys' lives where you feel, where you know that this is suffering that God has ordained for you, and you have either overcome or you're still overcoming, or you know, you're relying on the hope of God on? Jonathan?
I don't know. I don't know if I would consider suffering. I don't know if people would look down on that. But like sometimes I feel God puts certain people in my way to really humble me and to make me more patient and kind. Mm-hmm. I know there's a very first world kind of suffering. But, you know, that's something that just popped into my mind. And I embrace and I thank God for it because it shows that there's still a lot he has to work on in my
heart. Social suffering is one of the most common ways that God brings different types of people of different characters and different personalities, and they rub us in the wrong way. Maybe that's you. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's your kids. Maybe it's your in-laws. Or maybe it's just you being by yourself. We need the strength to embrace the suffering that God has foreordained. That is my prayer. Hopefully that's all of you out there. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you next week here in Inverse as we study the wonderful book of Romans on the science of salvation. God bless you guys.
You've been listening to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation with Kelly Williams, Israel Ramos, Jonathan Walter, Sebastian Braxton, Siku Dako, and your host, Justin Kim. Inverse is brought to you by the Hope Channel, television that changes lives. For this and more inspiring episodes, visit inverse.hopetv.org. Find us on social media, #InverseBible. Until next time, this is Inverse.